All right, welcome back, listeners, to another week of Two Men in a Shed, Totally Uncensored. I am your host, George, the Lighthouse Smith, and my sidekick slash co-host, Chris, the Wingspan Campbell. What's going on, Christopher?
Well, right on your coattails, living in your shadows. You know. I am the cat to your gut cells.
There you go. And he is the number one rated show of nighttime, so yeah, good to go. Man, sometimes I
enjoy watching Gutfeld.
I know, he is funny.
I feel like he's a member of Two Men in the Shed. I feel like he would fit in naturally.
He would. He actually would, wouldn't he? Yeah, he would.
Yeah.
All right. So, well, it's been a week already since we recorded last, right?
I want to be the Tyrese to your Gutfeld. I don't want to be Cat.
You want to be the what's his name? It's not Tyrese, is it?
I thought it was Tyrese.
He's the NWA World Television Champion of the NWA, yeah. So, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So as a sidekick, I'm still a champion. I feel a lot better.
Exactly.
About
See? There you go. Everybody can't be the main dog, buddy. You know, it always has to be a side one, so. Anyway, this is going nowhere, isn't it? But anyway.
Well, hey, have you seen that meme out there that says, I'm going to start a food truck, and I'm going to park it next to Chick-fil-A on Sundays, and I'm going to call it Side Chick?
No, actually, I haven't been on social media much, but that's funny. But since you brought up Chick-fil-A, I had it yesterday. I took my daughter there, and I got to be honest with you, I'm not a big fan of Chick-fil-A like a lot of people are. I mean, are the nuggets good? Yes, they're very good. But I don't really think their chicken sandwich is all that, to be honest with you. And the reason why I bring this up is because we used to always do food reviews every week, right? And we talked about doing all these chicken sandwiches that all these places were battling it out and all that. And I think we need to get back to do that. So I'd like to start next week. Sometime during the week, we have to agree on a chicken sandwich to eat. And then we'll give our reviews on it the next week. I want to cover all the fast food places. I've had the one at Wendy's. I've had the one, but I'm not going to review them now. I'm going to redo it. I've had the one at McDonald's, and I've had the KFC, and I've had the Chick-fil-A. And I got to be honest with you, I put Chick-fil-A at the bottom of the list right now at this moment. So.
Well, you know, you're saying blasphemous stuff because Chick-fil-A, that's God's chicken. That's sanctified chicken. But I mean, since we're talking about food, I came across a list about the sandwiches best known for the states, I believe that's what it's called. And I'm just going to hit a couple here, just a couple places we lived. Florida, I bet you can guess which sandwich that is, right?
Cubano.
Yeah. Georgia, you were just living down in Georgia. The sandwich down there is a fried chicken sandwich,
yeah.
Which makes sense. They love their fried chicken in Georgia.
That is true. That and Coke. Yeah.
So, moving through here, I lived in Illinois, and Illinois sandwich is called the horseshoe sandwich. Have you ever heard of this?
I believe I did on a TV show once, but I don't know what it consists of.
It's an open-faced sandwich called horseshoe sandwich made of thick slice.
Oh, wait.
Thick slice toasted
bread. Wait. At the very end of this, do they dip it down in sauce? Juice, I mean?
It doesn't really say. It says there's a secret cheese sauce.
Okay. So,
no, in Illinois, it's probably Famanda cheese.
What kind of meat's on that one?
Your choice of meat. It looks like here, it looks like a brisket in the picture.
Yeah, I've seen this on TV before. And then what they do after they make the sandwich, which is very thick, then they dip it in au jus sauce. And it comes out just all drenched in au jus. So, yeah, I've seen that.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah.
I lived in Iowa there for a little while, and the sandwich there is a tavern loose meat sandwich. And in Missouri, it's called a Made Right. You know, it's just ground meat, pickles. You can put mustard on it, some onion.
They did that on the Roseanne show. Remember when they opened their little restaurant called the, what was it, the Lunch Pail, Lunch Bucket, or some shit like that? They made the loose meat sandwich. I remember that.
Yeah. I'm going to scroll through here. I'm going to go down to Missouri. Here's a sandwich I never even fucking heard of. And I used to live in, I was born and raised in Missouri. It's called a Gerber sandwich. You ever heard of this?
No.
Missouri's famous Gerber sandwich is an open-faced sandwich with French bread, garlic butter, ham, provolone, paprika, and it perfectly toasted. Never once have heard of this sandwich. Never even had one.
What's in West Virginia?
Well, I'm getting there. Okay. Montana is just a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. So simplicity in Montana.
Let's keep it simple out there, Edith. So.
We talked about going to Vegas and going to Nevada and going get a heart attack grill burger.
Oh yeah,
that's gonna be fun.
Is that their sandwich? Gonna, I remember I see
that's
that.
That's their sandwich.
Yeah, I seen that on TV. Yeah.
North Carolina, you probably can guess it, is a pulled pork sandwich, which I'm not really a fan of.
Yeah,
but,
depends.
I tell you what, at the last poker tournament, Penny made a great pulled pork sandwich. It was tasty for $3. So. We both lived in Ohio. In Ohio, it's the Polish boy, which is basically Polish sausage in a hot dog bun topped with French fries and coleslaw.
You can't go wrong with sausage. Not bad.
Did you eat one of those when you were in Ohio?
I don't believe I ever did, to be honest with you.
I didn't. I never even heard of one of those until now.
No, the only thing I remember about Ohio, hearing about food was you know, every year they made those Buckeyes, you know, the little chocolate peanut butter deals. They made a big deal.
Those things were delicious.
Yeah.
I loved those.
Well, yeah, they were good. You know, but you know, all you had to hear about was the Ohio State. You know, and if you didn't say the Ohio State, then you got corrected. So.
The Ohio State, yeah.
I said that one day. I said Ohio State one time, and some lady said it's the Ohio State. She corrected me real quick.
Yeah, that pompous hussy.
All right, go ahead.
So West Virginia. I've never even heard this sandwich either. And it was all the times I drove through West Virginia, never saw it on a menu. West Virginia is an apple and turkey sandwich.
Never heard
delicious of it. Apple and turkey sandwich with West Virginia's golden delicious apples. Cheese and apples sound like a weird combo, but it's worth it. Have you ever had that?
Never heard of that shit, be honest with you. Never heard of it.
These people who make up these fucking lists, I don't think they ever travel outside their bedroom.
I don't think they do.
There's
because
no way.
Because in West Virginia, it would be the hillbilly hot dogs. That's what it would be. So yeah, these people.
What's
don't,
a hillbilly hot dog?
Oh, they got a place in Huntington. It's a little it's an old bus converted into a little restaurant, and they serve all these different types of hot dogs. It was actually on that TV show, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, whatever the hell it's called. It was actually featured on that show. You go there, you get all kinds of nice hot dogs with all kinds of shit on them. They're good. Called hillbilly hot dogs.
Well, I hate all the states that we lived in and we were associated with and we touched, we lived in, but yeah, whoever made this list is, there's no way they're associated or had anything to do with these states.
No, I agree with you. I think they just make stuff up as they go. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Well... As you did, you get that picture I sent you. I fixed up the outside out here, right? Got it all fixed up out there.
Yeah, it looks nice. You got an outside room now.
Yeah, I just added a grill yesterday. Got a grill out there now. I went to Camping World yesterday. Love Camping World. It's pricey as hell though. But remember, we talked about an extension for the countertop. I got one, but I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to use it though because the countertop is a little curved, and I don't know if I can get it on there the way it's supposed to be. But I'm going to look into that. And I picked up some other cool items while I was there. I spent about $170, but like I said, Camping World's expensive, but it's all cool stuff. So just making improvements little by little.
We need to throw a charcoal party. That now you're onto the charcoal grill.
Yeah.
You finally saw the light.
Well, it made more sense than I could have got a small propane one, but I thought I already have an outside kitchen that runs on propane. Might as well just get a real charcoal grill. So, you know. I was going to tell you something. Oh yeah, and also I'm going to put a back splash here behind the sink and the stove here. I'm going to put a back splash on that wall there. It's going to look cool.
There you go. That's a nice upgrade.
Yeah. Little by little, my friends, looking good. So, but that's pretty much all I've done. I've spent time with my daughter. That's why I'm not coming down to play pool with you this week, because you know I got to put priorities first, my friend. So.
Well, I'd rather be ditched for your daughter than ditched by anyone else. So. Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, let's touch on a couple things here real quick. You saw that Liz Cheney got defeated yesterday in her primary out there in Wyoming. She's gone finally. Well, she won't be.
Well, that was predictable.
Yeah, yeah, we knew she was done. So now, if you think about it, though, now since Trump's in the Trump era, you don't have any Clintons in office, you don't have any Cheneys in office, and you don't have any Bushes in office. They're all gone. All those dynasties are gone.
But are they?
I think they are.
But are they? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I would be happy when the Obama dynasty's gone.
Well, but if you look at it, though, yeah, they still like Obama, but every time he endorses somebody, they lose. So it's not really like he carries a lot of weight about anything anyway. So, I mean, the only person he got right was Biden, and he waited till Biden was the last one left to endorse him. And then, of course, we know, I don't care what they say, the big lie. Obviously, there was fraud, and it's still coming out little by little, but they just never want to acknowledge any of it. But anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But.
I don't think Obama carries as much weight as everybody thinks he does. So.
But yeah, it's good to see Liz Cheney gone, because I mean she was never a Republican anyway. She was only Republican by name, yeah. and she rode off her father's coattails.
Yep.
And her father, you could say, was never really either party. He had his bottom line. He had Halliburton to look after and make money off a fucking made up war. So
yep.
I mean Cheney was fucking as corrupt as say Hunter Biden there at one point, and then. You could also argue, when he was vice president, was Bush really running the show, or was Cheney running the show? Yeah. He was a very powerful vice president.
That's what people used to ask all the time, who was really running it. So, okay. Also, that George Gascon, the Soros DA out in L.A., he avoided that recall. Did you see this? Did you read about this?
No, I didn't read about that.
Dude,
fill me in.
They needed about 550,000 signatures to put it on the ballot to recall him. They gathered like 750,000 signatures. Well, the LA council, and they wouldn't let anybody observe them counting these signatures and verifying them either. Once again, that raises red flags. They disqualified almost 200,000 signatures, saying
of course they
did. Just out of the blue, which came out it was 27% of the signatures that they said were not valid. Which this and what's funny is in the 2020 election, You know the percentage of ballots that they said were not valid in the 2020 election in California?
None.
1%.
Oh, gee.
1%, because, you know, it was the most secure election of all time, but 27% of these signatures are ruled invalid, so that guy gets to keep his job. I mean, they're not done yet. I mean, the people now, they have a right to verify the names themselves, and they might take it to court or whatever, but as of now, looks like more fraud going on in L.A. out there, so. It just never, and you know,
of course.
They don't even really try to hide the fact of it anymore. They're just out in the open blatant about it now. So. So, it's ridiculous. Also, hey, let me touch on last week. You brought up that tax credit, $7,500 if you buy an EV. Well, you know, once the bill was passed, more came out on that. You know, the average price of the car you bought had to be like $62,000. It would take a while to get your rebate. But my main point of this is, and Ford just up the price of all their EVs by $8,500 now.
So. Well, it only makes sense. Yeah. So it's kind of the college tuition thing. You know, if the government's going to get involved and pay people to buy these cars, they're going to up the price anyway.
Exactly.
So if people are paying, if they're getting Pell Grants and everything and getting this guaranteed government money, these companies going to fucking look out for their bottom line and increase their prices. The problem is government. Government just needs to stay the fuck out of this shit.
I agree with you. I agree. But, hey, man, going back to Chick-fil-A for a minute, though. I tell you, their mac and cheese, though, is outstanding. Though. Very good. I don't like their waffle fries, so I substitute it for the mac and cheese, and that shit is good.
Yeah, I've never been a fan of waffle fries. You know, I like shoestring fries, and I don't really like steak fries.
Yeah, I don't like
crinkle fries.
Yep.
Curly fries is fun. That's a fun food to eat.
I told my little girl, I said, you want me to go Chick-fil-A and get you some nuggets? She went, yeah. And then she goes, fries too, Daddy, fries too. I was like, okay, we get fries. And she kept saying, as we're driving down the road, fries too, fries too. So funny. Cracks me up. All right. Let me throw in another thing here, and then we'll go off in the direction that you want to go into here. The British Royal Air Force now, they have their diversity targets that they're trying to hit. So they are no longer offering pilot jobs to any white men, only women and ethnic minorities. So, because they got to meet those targets.
That's crazy because it's the United Kingdom. Mm-hmm. When I think of anything white, it is the United Kingdom. Like, they're the whitest country out there. Well, I mean, did you see what's going on in Minneapolis with the school system out there?
I saw you posted something about that the other day, yeah.
Where they're saying if there's going to be layoffs, white people would be the first to get laid off, no matter their tenure or time they spent in the school system. And they're going to be the last to be hired and looked at because they want this. They look at the population, the color of the population or the flavor of the nation or whatnot. And they want teachers that reflect that instead of, you know. So here's my thing about it. It's racist.
Yeah.
It's racist. But if you go with the new definition, the new Biden definition of racism, it isn't racist. But the common man knows it's fucking racist. Mm-hmm. But here's my thing, too, is that they want to take race and color out of everything else. Like, if you're teaching, say, English, like, I mean, what difference does it make if it's a black teacher or a white teacher, a Hispanic teacher, an Indian teacher? What difference does it make? What difference does it make as long as kids are getting educated to a standard, I guess, you know? Yeah. I mean, granted, public education standards are relatively low and don't really deal with much with fucking STEM. It's more like people's feelings. But still, it's to me, that is discrimination. Blatant discrimination.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's pretty pathetic actually. All in the name of diversity. Yeah. So you're gonna screw one group. So.
Mm-hmm. So I mean, to me it's divisive too. If you want all these groups of people get together because of the color of their skin, you can't just bar one race from fucking becoming teachers.
Yeah.
Or say you're gonna be the first ones to get laid off. What this essentially is gonna do is gonna push white teachers down to, say, Iowa, Nebraska, Arkansas, where they won't get hired. They won't have to deal with this minutia of a fucking teacher's union saying that because you're white, you're less of importance of an employee. It's disgusting.
Very true. I agree.
Now the flip side of it is, too, that you know, there's a lot of, you know, black people out there saying, well, welcome to our world. This happened to us all through the fucking, all the way up to the civil rights, and we still fight for it. My counter argument to that is that we recognize that and we try to fix the problem. You know, we made laws where that can no longer ever happen, or you can sue if you feel discriminated against because your skin color or your ethnicity and race and all this other shit, you know, your creeds. And so I just don't understand how these laws can be passed, and they're like, well, look what happened in the past. Well, that was the past. We're living in now. We made laws to correct the shit now, and that's how we need to go forward.
Well,
just, it's, if I ruled the world for one day, I'd fix all this shit.
Just like that, huh?
Yeah. It'd probably be a mess the next day, but for one day, the shit would be right.
All right. So you wanted to talk about this constitutional republic, correct?
Well, I do, but before I get into it, like you've done in the past, I want to make a correction. Two podcasts ago, I was talking about Woodstock 97 or 99 or 97, I believe.
You said 99.
I said it was called Shit Show, mm-hmm. And I was thinking about our podcast Shit Show from the get go. The docuseries is actually called Trainwreck. So I put the wrong name of the documentary out there, but now it's fixed.
No wonder I haven't been able to find it all week. Fuck.
I'm sure you were really looking for it. But you know, you hear this catchphrase all the time, especially on liberal media, that it's bad for democracy, oh, yeah. It's all democracies, it goes against democracy, democracy's fallen. Well, they're wrong in saying that, because our country is a constitutional republic, and it's like that for a reason. And if you break down, you know, the difference between a constitutional republic and, say, a democracy, there are things there that keeps our country running in a correct fashion, where all citizens can essentially live out their lives in the most freest way of government possible. And one of those things is the rule of law. You know, Trump was a big rule of law, law of the land. He was a big fucking, you know, all about the rule of law. And the thing it is about rule of law is that there are punishments. If you break the law, you get fined, there's jail time, this, that, and the other. Hence, the reason we have a constitution. Like, say, in a democracy, a lot of times democracy is based on the people who are appointed to be government officials, whereas you know, we're following the rules to the our constitution. So with that said, when you see things like that DA in Florida that DeSantis fired isn't enforcing rules of law. You see what's going on in New York City, San Francisco, LA, the smash and grab at DAs. That right there is the watering down of the republic, because those DAs and those certain officials are not obeying the laws of the land that has been written. They're just basically going off scale. And what happens there when you start doing that, you start getting mob rule. You hear this all the time in the news. Mob rule, especially during the 2020 riots. It's mob rule, this, that, and other. And essentially, what that's going to do is going to lead to tyranny. And it's going to lead to the mob rule is going to be, well, if you ain't thinking this way, we're just going to destroy your property. We're just going to destroy your business. We're going to do this, that, and other. So in order to keep a constitutional republic, we have to obey the rules of the land. And another way to change the laws of the land is to have citizens' participation. And that's the next highlight I want to talk about, is citizen participation. You know, it used to be a time that I remember that civics was taught in class. You remember this, George?
Yeah.
Civics.
Yep.
How the Constitution worked. There was that little fucking, that little schoolhouse jingle, how you became how an idea becomes an act and a law. Yeah. Remember this?
Oh, yeah. The little bill there on the Capitol steps and all that, yeah.
Yeah, and well, you don't have that anymore. You have what's being taught is people's feelings, and this is how you should not step on people's feelings. You know, if we all live in a free, equal society, this is how you should treat people, which is true. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. But what happens there is that you get the lack of citizen participation, and both sides kind of argue this. The Republicans argue, here we need voter ID laws, right, to make sure citizens are voting, whereas Democrats say, well, everyone can vote. So you start to see the watering down of a constitutional republic, say, in New York City, where the city council and the mayor there said non-citizens of this country can vote in local elections, which goes against a whole lot of different things. It isn't necessarily citizen participation when you can be an illegal alien participating in a government that you truly haven't been assimilated to. Next point I want to make here is that there needs to be a multi-party system. Although I can argue that both parties seem to be, like I said before, two wings on the same bird. But in order to have a multi-party system, what the multi-party system does, it generates candidates. So you have Liz Cheney that was already there, but now, you know, who's that other lady that went against Liz Cheney and won? I forget her name. But anyway,
Harriet Hageman.
That's generated from the multi-party system, that even though it's the same party, there's multiple candidates fighting for that one seat. And likewise, you know, on the Democrat side. The problem here is this, you and I have pointed this out many a times, is that people sit in these seats for decades.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at fucking Biden. Biden was in government for 50 years. And the problem is that if we do get rid of the multi-party system, it turns into one party, and one party always turns into a dictatorship. You got this that happened in Venezuela that turned into socialism, that turned into a dictatorship. You have this in Cuba where they got rid of all.
And, well, let me jump in here real quick. And they also get real rich after being there for a while. Liz Cheney was in office for 6 years. When she went in office, she was worth $4 million. Now she's worth $44 million. So where'd all that other money come from? So, in 6 years of government service. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it comes from these bills getting passed. It comes from the lobbyists. You know, so I feel like the multi-system and citizen participation is kind of, you know, two ingredients to the I guess to it, like a peanut butter jelly sandwich, you know, or something. You know, you need citizens participating in the voting, you know, and citizen participation means there's maintenance in the system. So you hear this all the time that more and more young people are not participating in the election cycle. You hear this all the time. That's why they're always targeting that demographic. We need to get you involved because they get less and less involved. So one way they started doing this, at least the Democrats, is by taking out these civic classes in education. Just simply educate it. A well-informed populace will take maintenance in managerial roles and pride in the republic. So that's another point of a constitutional republic versus a democracy. And then the last one I'm going to hit on here is economic choice. In a constitutional republic, the citizens have to have a choice what they're essentially going to be. You take China, for example, you take, you know, the USSR, you know, people who were farmers, they stayed farmers. People who worked in banking, they stayed in banking. Mm-hmm. There was never any type of growth where you could change your status, essentially. Here in America, people give capitalism a hard time, but it's brought so many people out of poverty because they could change their economic status. They could actually grow economically. And is it easy sometimes? No, it's fucking hard. But that's the whole thing. Hard work pays off. If you let the system be and take the regulations off and allow people to use their ideas and the freedom of the market and have economic choice of how they're going to live their lives, the country will grow and it'll be happier, more morale. But now what do you see? You see Democrats taxing the fuck out of the middle class, stopping economic growth through backdoor taxes. Here, I'm going to tax oil companies. The oil companies are just going to pass that on to the people, you know, just like we talked about with Ford. Here, we're going to give a rebate. Well, Ford's just going to increase their prices. There goes the rebate. You look at, you know, universities. Education is supposed to be the great equalizer. It wasn't the great equalizer because now all of a sudden it's too expensive because the government got involved.
I read an article.
And lastly, with the economic choice.
I read an article yesterday that when Biden signed that Inflation Reduction Act, you know, that joke of a bill there, that all the CEOs and all the billionaires were laughing their asses off because, like we talked about before, they know they ain't coming after them, like Biden keeps saying. They're coming after us. So they were all just laughing about it. But, yeah, go ahead. Sorry about it.
And then lastly, it is part of economic choice is the fact that we get to own property. You take a lot of these countries that are African countries. Let's take South Africa, where the government has chosen to take property away from white landowners. You know, that's going to prohibit their economic growth by taking away their wealth-building opportunities. So the fact that you and I can own property and use that property to make our own economic choices and potentially grow wealth off of it, like owning a cow. You know, if you get some cows and a bull, you can make more cows. Then you can sell those cows. So instead of the government sitting there saying, here, I actually own the cows and you're going to manage it, like peasants. So once again, you start to see the Democrats essentially take property. You know, they're saying, well, you can't do this no longer by regulations. You know, if you wanted to say, there's a lot of different regulations out there. Well, let's just say
It's like we talked about batteries for electric cars last week. Regulations took the manufacturing away from the United States and gave it all to China.
Exactly. And so the people who invented that is the intellectual property. Yep. The Democrats took that away, that intellectual property, and gave it to a fucking enemy, essentially, of the United States. So you see what's happening here is the Constitutional Republic is being dissolved. And if you go back to rule of law, we have a Bill of Rights in this country that is supposed to be absolute. What has Biden said? Those things aren't absolute. He's already talking about tyranny when he says the rule of law of the land, I can take that away. We can take that away. And they have. You know, you look at Obama, he did that fucking airstrike on American citizen with no due process. Kidding. You got Biden say no due process when he made the border agents guilty by a pitcher lashing out at fucking people when they're just trying to get the horse to go. You see these rules being dissolved and it's simply ignored by Democrats. So we do need to get back to being a constitutional republic, rules of the land. We need to get citizens participating. The citizens, they don't participate because the Democrats want to put them on the tit. Here, we'll give you free medical. We'll give you this, that, and the other. We'll give you that. So they're like, I don't have to participate because the government's already taking care of me. When really what they're doing is taking away the power of the people for their own fucking greed.
Yeah, it's like, I'll give you all this. Now just go in the corner and shut up and let me continue to run things. So, you know, take your rights away little by little. But yeah.
Little by little. And the thing is the government has time, whereas the people don't really have time. And when you're up there controlling all the levers of power, making changes, slowly these changes start to degrade, the power of the people. And you're starting to see that. And it's funny how fast it started to speed up. And people say, well, that isn't how it's supposed to be. But there's nothing being done with it because – once again, there's no citizen participation. And if there is citizen participation, there's ignore ruled land, just like we opened up this podcast talking about the DA in LA. There was citizen participation. It seems like they got the signatures, but behind closed doors, they ignored the rules of the land and changed it for their own good.
Yep, exactly. Exactly what they did. Yeah.
That's very good. There's a little bit more to it, but those I feel like are the highlights. Parts of what makes a constitutional republic versus a democracy. If you look at the how history repeats, a democracy always leads to tyranny. I can't fucking talk right now. Or dictatorship. It always ends up with. How they're doing right now. They're saying, hey, let's tax the rich. Let's do this. It always ends up with taking away. To where the people are so broke, so poor, so lack of morale that they don't even fight back.
Yeah, well, they make it hard to do anything. As you see, all those January 6th people, they're all going to prison left and right, and nobody from Black Lives Matter and Antifa ever go to jail. It's it's hard to do anything. So if you don't have the right politics, Oh, well, that's a very interesting class there. Maybe we need to teach the Democrats that stuff. So, what do you know about monkeypox?
I ain't worried about monkeypox because that's a gay disease.
Well,
I'm not gay.
I know. But my point here is, they refuse to come out with any guidelines because they don't want to offend the gay community. You know, they're not saying quit screwing each other. They're not saying stay out of the bathhouses. They're not saying now any of that. They don't want to offend the gay population, so they're not putting out any guidelines like they did for that Chinese virus shit where they tried to screw everybody's life up. So, but
And there's nothing wrong with being gay. I only say that because every time I hear something about monkeypox, they say it's a homosexual.
Well, it is.
Disease that's running rampant through homosexuals.
Yeah. And the reason why I bring it up because there's a gay couple in France, and a 44-year-old Latino. With HIV and his partner, a 27-year-old white kid. I always love these gay couples where it's a young guy and an old guy. because I actually know one. I actually know a couple like that. But anyway, they both contracted monkeypox. But they have a 4-year-old Italian greyhound dog who also contracted monkeypox.
The dog got it?
The dog has it. Now, I don't want to infer what they're doing with this dog. I don't know. But they say the dog sleeps in the bed with them all the time, and you know, I guess that's how the dog got monkeypox, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I started a series yesterday on Netflix called Uncoupled, and it has Neil Patrick Harris, and I like him as an actor.
Yeah, he's funny.
And I actually thought it was about a straight couple uncoupling, and it's about a gay couple uncoupling. And just like you said, Neil Patrick Harris plays the younger gentleman, and then he has an older boyfriend that's just turned 50. And right before his surprise birthday party, him turning 50, he breaks up with Neil Patrick Harris's character. And I only got halfway through it. I was just like, I watched the movie They Them on Peacock the other day, just because I like horror stories. I just want to see how they were going to do this alphabet people twist in it. And it, I have to say, it was a good one-time watcher. Wasn't nothing scary because, you know, they want to force in, you know, their meaning and this, that, and other. So if they could just kind of water that down a little bit, I think it would have been a good movie. But I only bring that up because, you know, you said you like couples that do that, that, you know, gay couples is older and then one younger. There's probably a term for it.
Yeah, but also, like you just pointed out, there's movies that all keep preaching like that, and none of them are being very successful at all. I just read an article today that, you know, the CW Network, you ever watch anything on that?
No, I'm too old for that. CW seems like it's
Actually, it's weird. The average age of person that watches the CW is 59 years old, but all their shows are geared towards, you know, teenagers and 20-some-year-olds. But they have the lowest viewership in all of TV, and it's mainly because, obviously, the wrong people are watching it, but it's also because every one of their shows is a preachy show. They all have to include the alphabet people. They all have to preach about Donald Trump, this, that, and the other. So I just read an article about that today, and you know what? It didn't surprise me because I've never liked the CW. None of their shows ever appealed to me. I don't ever watch the CW. So, I couldn't even tell you what any of their shows are. I know they have a lot of superhero shows, I believe, but that's odd taste.
All right. So, they got the whole Arrowverse.
Yeah.
I used to watch it. Logan liked to watch The Flash a lot. And The Flash is entertaining, so when he said, "Here, Dad, let's watch Flash," I sit down with him and this, that, and the other. So I just Googled a term. What's the term for older man dating a young man, gay, right? And it comes up with, there's two terms here, all right? One term's called a fagwire, like a cougar, like fagwire. An older gay gentleman who preys on younger men is a gay version of a cougar. So fagwire, I don't know. The other one is a little bit easier to pronounce. It's called a chicken hawk. The chicken hawk is an older man who dates younger men. So
chicken hawk. Hey, what are they? What's an older man who dates younger women? Look that up.
Yeah.
What's the name for that one?
Hold on. Older man. It comes up right here. They're called Georgetonians.
I like it.
let's see here. I don't know. I guess.
No, just stick with what you said. I like that. Here.
Just like cradle snatcher. You know, robbing a cradle. Yeah. That's kind of a common one. We heard that one before.
Yeah.
I like Georgetonian
better. Let's stick with that one. I like that one. Let's run with that. Okay.
So, another one's called a manther. A manther's a male version of a cougar.
Oh, gosh. That's gay.
Manther. Like a panther. A manther.
I get it.
I like that one.
That sounds gay. Yeah. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
I like it.
But, okay.
A manther.
All right. Let's move on with our lives.
All right, Manther lived a Georgetonian lifestyle.
All right. Yeah, I got one more note here before I get to a couple lists I got this week. But you know how Starbucks is a very liberal organization, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, and they were all in about mail-in ballots for the federal election. They were pushing for this, that, and the other. Well, it turns out, though, they don't like mail-in ballots when it comes to their workers trying to form a union and all that. They're trying to get a judge to oppose mail-in balloting for all these unions that are trying to start up in all their stores. Is that hypocrisy or what is that?
It's hypocrisy. It's like what you and I always say. You know, Democrats like these laws until it don't fit them,
yep.
And then they hate them.
Yeah, because they say that it's creating a it's creating fraud is what it's causing. We all know this. So. But, yeah, hypocrisy at its finest once again by Starbucks, whose coffee is not very good and way overpriced. So I'd rather go to Speedway. They got great coffee. All right. I got a list here, and this is from Newsmax. This is this list originates from Newsmax. List of the best U.S. cities to leave. These are the cities you want to get the hell out of, Chris.
All right.
Let's see here. Let me go backwards here. Let me start at number 10. Number 10 is, well, this ain't a city. This is a whole county in Illinois. Lake County in Illinois. It's due to a perfect storm of declining manufacturing, stagnant immigration, declining birth rates, young people leaving for college and never coming back, long-standing economic discrimination against black residents, high housing costs, and the continued draw of residents to the Sun Belt. So, got to get the hell out of Lake County, Illinois.
Fuck Lake County. Fuck Chicago.
Yeah, I agree. All right, number 9, we got Middlesex, Somerset, New Jersey. This is the fourth New Jersey metro area to make this top 10 list. No indoor venue capacities will be... hold up here. It doesn't really say why you should leave here, except for the lockdowns and the mandates by the governor, but that's the whole state. So leave the whole state. Okay. Number 8, Bridgeport, Stamford, Connecticut.
People, I never hear anything bad about those places, though.
No, that's where WWE headquarters is in Stamford, Connecticut. But which you did hear that Vince McMahon, he stepped down as the CEO, and he's finally no longer involved with the company that he has made a billionaire company. He's no longer involved due to, apparently he was paying off women to shut up about affairs and shit.
But go figure.
Yeah, like that was no secret in wrestling. Everybody knew that shit. So, but you should leave Bridgeport and Stamford. People are leaving for retirement, health, family, lifestyle, and jobs. So they are dwindling, and so you got to get the hell out of there too. Okay.
Yeah.
Number 7. I never heard of this place. If I say it right, Bremerton, Washington.
Never heard of it either.
Never have either. Know. Well, apparently there ain't nothing there, so get the hell out of there, too. Okay. They didn't give me a whole lot of information on that. Oh, here's your favorite place. Number 6, Chicago. I mean, we don't really need to expand on that. Well, everybody knows get out of there, unless you want to get murdered. So, you got places like you got places like Walmart and Target pulling out of Chicago. So,
You don't want to have Bodega there because you're smash and grab, and you can't do nothing about it.
Exactly. Number 5, we got Newark, New Jersey. I've been to Newark, and it is a shithole. And we actually watched that on YouTube at one time, remember? Yeah. They have been struggling with crime problem for decades. Yeah, no surprise there. So, New York City, number 4. Obviously, we know, get out of there. Bill de Blasio ruined that once great city. So he destroyed it in 8 years. And these idiots elected him again. What a bunch of morons. Okay, this one, number 2 and 3. Bergen, Passaic, New Jersey, and Trenton, New Jersey. I've been through Trenton. Yeah,
sounds like whole state New Jersey just needs to cleanse. It needs to be power washed, it sounds like.
I hate New Jersey. I got a buddy, Gary Carty, from Jersey, and I used to tell him that they had the nerve to call that the Garden State, and of course, then he would always come back with a one-liner about West Virginia, and he's pretty witty, so I could never really compete with him. But yeah, I never liked Jersey. When I used to drive truck, I hated going through Jersey. I hated their turnpike, and I just hated going anywhere in Jersey. Disgusting. Hate it. But, yep, get the hell out of those places. And the number 1 on this list is Nassau, New York. 81% of people moved out, and 19% are moving in.
Yeah. But you heard a common thread with a lot of these places were jobs. You know, you can't expect the population to stay there when they take all the jobs away.
Well, and a lot of it's crime also. So, I mean, you bet, jobs was like the top one, followed by crimes. So, yeah, I agree with that. Now, I got another one here. This is the 10 best cities to move to. So, as soon as it pulls up here. Come on. The internet's a little spotty here. Come on now. Come on. You can do it.
I'm actually thinking about moving. I've been saying this, but so, yeah, this is going to be good.
I saw you posted something yesterday, and I will speak off air on it because I'm sure you don't really want to talk about it now. But yeah, I was kind of curious to what I was reading there. So,
I'll fill you in.
Okay.
All right. Also deleted it.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, see, these are the top 10 best cities to move to. At number 10, we got Fort Collins, Loveland, Colorado. So it's ranked number 6.
I could live up there. Yeah. It's probably liberal as hell, but there's legal weed, and I bet the temperature's good, and there's probably a lot of things to do outside.
Well, it says it's got big city job opportunities mixed with a hometown feeling for the outdoorsy and fitness-minded. There's 29 miles of bike trails, and urban cyclists can be seen commuting to and from work on a daily basis or shopping and running errands. Plus, you got home to numerous breweries, Anheuser-Busch, craft brewers like Cooper Smith's Pub and Brewing, the Fort Collins Brewery, and Odell Brewing Company, to name a few.
Yeah. I love going to breweries. I have a good time every time I go to a brewery going there. I like them.
All right, number 9, Nashville, Tennessee. I've been to Nashville. It's a pretty interesting town. I had a good time there.
My buddy in Florida, he's having his birthday party in Nashville, and I was supposed to go up there, but things ain't going to work out. But, I've been wanting to go and venture around in Nashville. I was looking at it. It's super touristy. There's a lot of open-air bars, and, you know, they say you never know. You might run into a country singer or up-and-coming rock and roll singer that they just walk around, and they go to these bars and just hang out, or they'll do just a gig. They'll get up on stage and start doing a gig.
Well, you know, as you say that, that's exactly what this article says. Yeah, you'll run into a celebrity from any field of entertainment at any time. Okay. All right, number 8, Austin, San Marcos, Texas. I don't know if I'd want to go to Austin. I hear that's turned into a liberal hellhole, actually. But I don't know. But
I think that's a little dated. I think they're starting to have smash and grabs in Austin now. It's the blue island in a red state.
But it has a young, edgy vibe, but it does have a high cost of living. Huh. But if you go to San Marcos, it's 30 minutes from Austin, and it's more budget-friendly.
For now.
All right, number 7, we got Melbourne, Titusville, Palm Bay, Florida. You're close to Orlando. You're close to the Kennedy Space Center. 66% of people are moving in compared to only 34% moving out.
I never heard of that place, but that area seems like a fun place to be.
Yeah, I tell you, if it's anything like Tampa, yeah, it's pretty cool. All right, number 6, we got Knoxville, Tennessee. I've been to Knoxville. I like Knoxville. It's nice out in the mountains and all that. It's pretty cool up there. That's where the Tennessee River actually begins, is in Knoxville, Tennessee. So, yeah.
Yeah, I like Knoxville. Knoxville's cool. Yeah.
Plus, you got the big college up there. You can be a volunteer. All right, number 5, Fort Myers, Cape Coral, Florida. Never been there, but obviously, right on the beach is there. Got everything you need there, I guess. So, yeah.
I think that area is. Bill Maher just talked about it flipped red because they stopped believing in their representation. They were no longer being represented correctly, so they flipped it off.
Huh. It says beachcombers will find more varieties of shells than any other area in the United States. Okay. All right, number 4. Here's one I didn't expect on here. Huntsville, Alabama, known as Rocket City. It is home to the U.S. Space and Rocket Center. And it's also home to NASA's Flight Center and the Army's Aviation and Missile Command.
It's weird that there's the Army Aviation Missile Command right next to the NASA Rocket Center. It seems convenient.
Yeah, it does seem, yeah. And they take their craft beer seriously, and every year they have a weekend where they celebrate called the Rocket City Brewfest.
That could be fun.
That could be.
These are the festivals you and I need to look at. So, you know, when we go Nomad and we can just say, here, we're going to go to this festival. It's Brewfest.
True, true. Very true. All right. Number three. Here's another one I didn't expect to be on here. Boise, Idaho. I know Marcus could tell us a little bit about that one, as he has before. They have they play host to the Idaho Shakespeare Festival, where each summer you can enjoy live theater under the stars in a picturesque riverfront setting. Each season brings five plays, two from Shakespeare and three from other playwrights.
Hmm. I don't know. I mean, are you really into Shakespeare? Do you want to sit down and listen to "All Thou Thee Thou"?
No, I think I'll take a pass on Boise. Okay. All right. Number two, Sarasota, Bradenton, Florida. I believe Bradenton, Florida is where they had a speed trap that actually was on TV because they were pulling everybody over within a little part of the highway. And I don't even know if that town exists anymore. I think it's the same place. I'm not sure. I have to look that up. But it is near Fort Myers, Cape Corral. And that's right where the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus has made Sarasota its winter home since 1927. It is known as Circuit City because of that. Go ahead.
I don't think you can go wrong with moving to Florida. It's for retirees. The humidity sucks, but the weather's still relatively good unless there's a hurricane. It's got good taxes. There's tons and tons and tons of jobs in Florida. I don't think you can go wrong.
I never hear anything bad about it except for those gators. Watch for the gators. But, all right, and number one, you'll like this one, Wilmington, North Carolina.
Number one's Wilmington?
Yep.
Oh, I'm surprised. Well, Wilmington's booming. Yeah. You know, a lot of people are moving from New York City, though, and D.C. and Philadelphia to Wilmington. You know, it's for the weather, the breweries, the university, all kinds of shit, dude. I love Wilmington, dude.
It says, if you're a dog lover, you'll find Wilmington accommodating, where pups are welcome at many beaches, restaurants, and stores. College basketball fans will enjoy the annual Midnight Madness, which honors the beginning of the University of North Carolina at Wilmington basketball season. And it says, if you like deep sea angling, then you won't have to travel to Florida. You can just satisfy your passion off the shore of the port city.
Yeah, the beaches there are nice. They got an aquarium that's very close. I went down there and did a couple of pub crawls. They got a haunted pub crawl that they do in the fall time, which I think maybe this year I'll participate in. But they had the St. Patty's Day pub crawl, which was a blast. Always enjoy downtown. They got breweries just scattered throughout this whole town. I wish they would build a little bit more of an entertainment center closer to the university so you could just walk to it. But outside of that, it's fucking, I love Wilmington. Love it. Carolina Beach is a good time. Shit.
Yeah. I've been to Wilmington a few times, not as much as you, and I haven't really hung out there. But yeah, it always seemed like a pretty nice place when I went through there. So I did. I had to go down there for the VA one time too. They got a nice VA down there.
Yeah, the VA clinic's good. Starting next week, I'm gonna have to be going down there twice a week. So I got school on Tuesdays and Thursdays. They're gonna be long days. My first class is at 9:30. My last class is over 7:45 in the evening. So,
okay. We'll be changing our normal recording day, but we do that all the time. It's like we did this week. It's no big deal.
Yeah,
just find a time that fits. So no biggie.
Okay. Yeah, I mean we probably could still record on Tuesday because I got a long break. I got a 4-hour break. So
okay.
Who knows?
Yeah, no worries.
We'll figure it out. They're Manther. Stonian.
All right, my trusty sidekick. I like it. All right, good to go. All right, what'd you learn this week?
Well, I learned a couple of cool dick names for, you know, people who date younger people. You know, Manther and Chicken Hawk. and then I'm excited to know that Wilmington is a number one spot city to move to. But I mean, with that population growth and popularity, it's starting to get expensive down there. I mean, a place like I'm living in right now is almost going for anywhere from $1,500 to $1,700 a month, and it's that's outrageous.
It is ridiculous how they're killing people with this rent stuff.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, part of it is people's You know, it's because people get in and they destroy people's property and all that. Yeah, a lot of it's greed, but it's also because you got people who destroy other people's shit. So, you know, so.
Yeah.
That's humans being humans. But I learned that I really liked George Stoney, and I like that, and I'm going to run with that.
We just turned a new phrase here on 2 Minutes of Shit.
How many assholes of the week do you have this week?
Well, I don't have an asshole really this week. No one's been mean to me. No one's had. I mean, it's been fucking relatively nice people I've run into.
You know, I got to say the same. I mean, I don't know if the world's getting nicer or people just don't like talking to us. I don't know. But I haven't had no run-ins with anybody. So I guess we'll revert back to the Hall of Famer who signed that big bill and is going to screw the country even more than he's already done. So I'm sure Joe Biden wins again. Yeah.
Big winner, Joe Biden. So what'd you learn this week?
I just told you, George Stonian.
Oh, yeah.
No, I did learn that Starbucks is full of hypocrisy. You know, I knew they were full of shit. I just didn't know how big their hypocrisy ran. But I learned that if you're white, you're not going to work for be a pilot for the British Royal Air Force. Yeah. And it doesn't matter if you get a tax credit for buying a EV because Ford already took care of that for you. So.
Yeah, exactly. If you're an aspiring teacher, do not go work in Minneapolis because you will get discriminated against.
That's all I got this week, Christopher. We'll see if we come up with another big subject next week since you schooled everybody on constitutional republics this week, which, like I said, Democrats need to listen to that. But we'll see if we come up with something.
Hopefully someone listened to it. A good book out there, it's an old book, it's an ancient book. But Plato's Republic talks about all these things. You know, Plato, I guess you could say, is the founding father of a constitutional republic. But he talks about, you know, exactly where we're at in our country right now and things that could happen. If anyone wants to pick up that book and just, you don't have to read the whole book. You can just open up a chapter that he talks about different things and philosophize about it. So.
So if anybody has any ideas of anything they would like us to research and do a show on, hit us up at 2 Men in the Shed, totally uncensored, @gmail.com. That's the number 2, not the word 2. And, you know, drop us anything you want to tell us about. We'll be glad to read it, and we'll take your suggestions. Anything else you want to add?
That's it. Thank you all for listening. Tell 5 of your friends to subscribe to us.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to us every week, and we'll see you next week.